Forests provide us with the very air we breathe, and music nourishes our soul. Woods and Wilds podcast is intertwining the roots of music and the healing power of nature through stories.
Standing out here in Congaree, if I focus on what I'm thinking, I'll start blundering. But when I look around at the trees, I start wondering, not afraid of lightning and thundering. Notice me, loving forestry. It never bores me. It holds me, consoles me. And the other thing that it does, it molds me.
Mark Williams. Ethnobiologist Mark Williams has taught hundreds of classes to thousands of people about plants, humans, other life forms, and their interface. His trainings include, he has a BA in Environmental Studies, Sustainable Agriculture from Warren Wilson College, with a minor in Business, and an MA in Appalachian Studies, Sustainable Development from Appalachian State University, with a minor in Planning and Geography. He has over 20 years of experience working at various restaurants, farms, and travels throughout 30 countries in Central, North, South America, Europe, and all 50 states in the USA. More information can be found at www.botanyeveryday.com. All right, give us a round of applause for Mark Williams.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Gratitude to Dogwood and everything that they do, all the great work, and gratitude to all of you for being here. I want to start with a little bit of universality. So who has ever had a special, specific tree? This is a story of a series of specific trees that have helped save different iterations of me. Before beginning the story, I would like to set the tone by starting with a song. Standing like a tree with my roots down deep and my branches are wide open. Down comes the rain, down, down, down comes the sun to return to the earth, to return to the one. That's it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And yeah, by many measures, I had a hellacious childhood that was nonetheless privileged in many ways, too. And one of the challenges being my parents saying, I can't sing, not to sing, or don't sing, quit your singing, don't quit your day job, and the like, right? So, of course, what they meant was your talents lie elsewhere. To this day, I'm not a professional singer. But as a little songbird who sings constantly, at least internally to this day, I heard more shut up and stay quiet to keep the criticism at bay. So by singing for all of you here, it is clear in a way that my inner child is already won, which is fun. That said, my story is a back and forth. And as the great song by Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock goes, it's of joy and pain, sunshine and rain. Oh, my children. All right, so the challenges that I experienced from my upbringing by my dad are clearly linked in some ways to him being a black man born in Alabama in 1938 and the challenges he inherently faced because of this, but also a series of profoundly hard personal tragedies, in particular being burned really bad while very young, losing his mom at an early age, and his dad's incarceration during childhood as well. I have much empathy for my dad within the harrowing story that I have to tell. Firstly, I was kidnapped by my dad at the age of 1.5 years old from my mom in Holland, ostensibly to go Christmas shopping. So there's a tree. But I was brought to America and raised with authority and brutality by a literal drill sergeant entity. My earliest tree memory is well after numerous notable beatings. It was the pine in the front yard of 3333 Cross Creek Drive in Montgomery, Alabama. We lived there until I was 7, and then we moved to South Florida when my dad retired at the age of 43, if you can imagine, after 27 years in the military and achieving the highest rank possible for an enlisted person of Chief Master Sergeant E9, which is only granted to one out of every 100 soldiers. He went on to work for the Department of Labor for over 20 more years. Another great tree memory would be my grandfather Papa JT's pecan tree in Lynette, Alabama, also known as Shawmut for whatever reason, one he inherited from his forebears like Big Annie and Mama Julia. I can remember cracking pecans, depending on where you come from, for hours gleefully driving from Alabama back to Florida every summer. Well, I think of the wood that made the bats that were used by my great uncles and the Negro baseball leagues of old, and how much my dad had adored those men and the stories that they told. Regarding Florida, I remember walking through the halls of my first grade Montessori school in Alabama with dreams of palm trees. Now, being a botanist as an aside, palms are monocots and not real trees. That may make the type of wood generated by dicot trees. Nonetheless, they represented paradise for me. But that aside, I was 7, and we posted up on the coast in Pompano Beach, Florida, and the Howard Johnsons while looking for a more permanent place, and I was in a type of heaven. This very location would thread significantly through my life for years to come. I ended up at a daycare across from Kester Park full of amazing trees, of which the banyans, a type of ficus or fig, were my favorite. So easy to climb and huge, a ready-made botanical fort of gargantuan proportions. Oh, how those trees gave ease as the blows rained down at home without cease. In my maturation, I ran away from home a number of times. The first at the age of 9, involving a harrowing multi-mile sojourn, part of which included walking down Interstate 95 and getting into the car with an offering stranger, which eventually led me to being in Kester Park in one of my favorite banyan trees. Eventually, I came down, hungry, I imagine, and ended up running into a teacher from my elementary school that wasn't far away. One can only imagine the hullabaloo around my disappearing and the embarrassment and intensity for my father, particularly, yet as far as I can recall that time, he did not beat me. This location continues to be one of my favorite places in the world to this day, though sad to say the banyans have gone away. However, I am pleased to report in the time since then I've grown to know that some of my other childhood friends are incredible plants in their own right, like the mahogany and cocoa plum trees. The next time I ran away was in my mid-teens. I ended up at the very first beach, sleeping in the parking garage of that very same hotel across from those very dreamt of palm trees before the police found me. The last time I ran away, I was 19, but very much still under the dominion of my father in a number of ways. So off I went with very, very little to live on the streets of New Orleans in an abandoned building. And though that time was a blur in retrospect, I am sure there must have been some connection to trees and amazing oaks there specifically. Oaks would continue to be profound in my life for years to come, from the one I took refuge in when getting my associate degree at Santa Fe Community College to one of my favorites still to this day on the land of a spiritual center in Jacksonville, Florida, that I was first introduced to by my friend Kaba after my first 10-day silent meditation retreat in the Vipassana style. It is cozied up on the banks of the St. John's River, and to say sweet and huge only hint at the magnitude of this incredible being, at least 8 to 9 feet in diameter, and is a sight amazing in seeing, with a perfect nook for one person to get in and pray in, so incredible in many a way. One of the most transformative places I've ever been is the Omega Institute in upstate New York, a place where I went on one of my first plant walks in the late 90s, and I remember the catalpa tree in front of the dining hall in particular captivating me. Around the time of that, one of my true callings in the tree realm became crystal clear. I visited here in Asheville just as the George Washington Carver Park was being planted with fruit trees. This was one of the impetuses for me moving here as a young aspiring hippie. Fruit trees also helped with the healing with my dad. Growing up, he had always looked down on fruit trees and gardening in the yard as low rent and tacky. Our Cuban neighbors, who moved in shortly after we did, representing one of the only families of color in a neighborhood of hundreds of homes, promptly went full food forest with great energy. To my dad's credit, he sent me to Spanish lessons con Señora Santiago, which I still treasure as I continue to practice esta lengua, this language, daily and remember her fondly. Fast forward to his house of retirement in Fort Myers, Florida, that came with a lemon tree. For New Year's 2000, I was determined to help pay my way at a big fish music festival with 80,000 plus people by selling homemade salsa and fresh squeezed lemonade from that very lemon tree. Previous to that, my dad had a practice of saying, you know, you can always just go back and even do one hitch in the military, by seeing that I had another path and admiring me for my industry. Over time, his Jamaican wife Grace would eventually at least moderately food forest that place out to with a bare minimum collection of banana, papaya, and sugarcane that most island folk may be prone to do. My dad started declining around 10 years ago in that place, and that lemon tree, unfortunately, interestingly, in parallel, did too. And they eventually moved to a one-story house around the way. But oh, what a food forest lives in that little backyard today. Once secure on my path, I head to Warren Wilson College and had the great fortune of learning from a Yale-trained forester named Dr. Bill Davis. The goal was to learn every local tree and many from the Piedmont as well. Mission successful, but my greatest love at the time was the apple tree. My senior project involved planting 50 trees on campus of around 10 varieties and developing a management manual as well. While many healing moments have been part of this process, there have been many challenges in the pursuit of food forest establishment there and other places in our community too, that we might hope to move through. That, though, has led to some of my life's work volunteering for 3 years on the Asheville Tree Commission to advocate for the installation of more food forests in our community and working through the Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program, thank you for showing up, and the inventory of the food forests that we have and help develop plans to steward them further. Turns out it's way easier to plant trees than to take care of them. So please join us in that effort, I would say. My focus is spread to longer-lived nut trees like hickories, along with other fleshy fruits like native pawpaws and persimmons. So grateful for the work of the Asheville Buncombe Fruit and Nut Club, also known as the Nutty Buddies affectionately in this space particularly. Go Nutty Buddies. All right. I have traveled internationally and communed with many trees, but some of the most special being the probably over 1,000-year-old yew, clearly at the site of an ancient Celtic ritual space where I put some of the ashes of one of my greatest teachers, inspirations, and friends, Frank Cook. Frank Cook called in. As well as thousands of miles away near the Caribbean, where I and some friends placed some of Frank's ashes yet again, this time by another amazing type of ficus tree where Panama and Costa Rica come together coastally. The baobab trees in Hollywood, Florida connect to the legacy of Africa too, and a previous storyteller, Issa, shout out to Issa and me, and how the evolution of life moves through. A year or so before the pandemic, I went to visit my siblings, their mom, and the old home place of Papa JT, Mama Julia, and Big Amy. Especially excited for the pecan tree, but no sign of it there, to my despair and chagrin. However, sassafras and cedar were there, and I knew those had to be connected, especially to my kin, and I let that energy in. My dad passed away in June, and it is interesting to feel our relationship evolve in this transition. I felt mostly at peace with him before he left physically, with him having had dementia for a while. Yet now I feel a connection to him and my ancestry that, though it avows the legacy of practically unimaginable trauma, that there is some type of freedom on the other side, too, that can possibly be assessed for me and you. Thinking that somewhere I will put part of his ashes and plant a tree so I can continue to pray in a certain way for him, you, and me while continuing the healing journey. Thank you, thank you. Thank you so, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
No problem, no problem. We'll be right back.